This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Ma'abayim. We have a historic share tonight. Welcome, everybody. Baruch Ma'abayim. Tonight's share, we're continuing the Shemot Sefer Yikra, are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim and Mishpachta, Lila Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Lila Nishmas Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi, and Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen, Begane Den Tehemenu Chassam. The Shir Mabchoides Adar Sheni are dedicated to Lila Nishmas Ava Bat Ilana Esther, whose yard side was Yud Ches Adar Beis. Tonight's Shir is dedicated by my dear friend, Rav Abi Tachman, in honor of his father's yard site, which is this evening, tonight. Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Yisrael Isser, Ben Mordechai Yaakov, Neshama Shev Na'aliyah, Shubi Yomel Tzioshev, his whole family, for Simcha Sanachas, Vesura Soives, Adbias Goel Tzedak. Tonight's share is also dedicated anonymously by my friend in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we have very good news. First of all, if you don't have your Haggadah yet, it's available right here in English. It came out last year, but even if you got it last year, you probably lost it already. So it's available again over here. And if you want to get a sefer on Chodesh Nisan and Pesach, it's also available. It was republished today in Eretz Yisrael. It's on the plane, so some more copies are on its way. Okay, we have a very important share tonight. Usually we speak about Inyana D'Yoma. We speak about the Parsha. We speak about the upcoming Yom Tovim. I think this is the first time I'm giving a shiur on the topic of a solar eclipse or any type of eclipse in general. We know that upcoming, April 8th, Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, on Monday, there's going to be a solar eclipse starting in Mexico, making its way north through the United States and into Canada. So there's going to be totality over Texas, Arkansas, Kentucky, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Maine, and New York. You could go to Syracuse. You could go to Buffalo. Where else could you go? You could go to Rochester.
Lake Placid.
Lake Placid. Okay, there you go. Lake Placid and in Canada. There you could see the entire eclipse. But even in New York City, you're going to be able to see a good chunk of the eclipse. It's going to get somewhat dark for about 2 hours. And the question is, what does this mean for us? What does it mean for the world? Does it have any meaning? Is it just a regular natural phenomenon? Is it like a sunny day, a cloudy day, a rainy day? We don't usually make much of rainy days or cloudy days, even though the truth is, if we would study the Gemara, all of these natural phenomena have meaning. The Gemara says that on a rainy day, business always prospers. So if you wanted to invest money, the Gemara says invest on a rainy day. Now, I never did an actual study of the stock market, how it does on rainy days versus sunny days. You know, someone out there, maybe make a study. Study the correlation between precipitation, humidity, and the stock market. But the Gemara says when it rains, business prospers, period. The Gemara says, Afilu mois shabekis misbarechas. Even money. I mean, not just your farm will prosper. The money in your pocket will prosper. But the thing is that these phenomenon, here in New York, it rains almost every day. Like 9 out of 10 days it rains, right? So we don't really make much of it. But when we have a solar eclipse, which is somewhat of a rare or unique phenomenon, so the question is, does it mean anything? Is it ominous? Is it something we should be concerned about, something we should think about? So let's begin with the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Tesamet Aleph. An amazing Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanur Abanan. We have to learn a shtickel Gemara. Bizman she'acham aloika, when the sun is struck, is stricken. Now what exactly does that mean? Bizman she'acham aloika. Says the Gemara, Simin ra l'chol ha'olam kulay. It's a bad omen for the entire world. Mashal mahadavar daima. What is this analogous to? Lamelech basar v'dam she'asa suda la'avadav. It's like a king of flesh and blood. He makes a party for his subjects. V'hiniach fanos l'fneim. And he lights it up. He puts a lantern out. Ka'as aleim. He got angry at them. V'amar la'avdoi. And he says to his attendant, toil panos mipneihem v'hoishivam b'choshach. take the lantern away and put them in darkness. Basically, the world is a party. It's a big party. God gives us food, unlimited food, 3 meals a day, water. The whole day you could drink water. It's a big party. You could breathe all day long. There's no... All you could breathe. You know, some people, they go to restaurant, all you could eat. God put us in a restaurant, all you could breathe. There's no cap on oxygen, and it's free. And He lights it up for us. He makes spectacular lighting. But if He turns off the light, it means that He's angry at us. Now, I would infer from this Gemara that if the analogy is a king who makes a party for his servants, that maybe it's only a bad omen for his servants. But what if you're not a servant of the king? What if you're the king's child? Then maybe it's not a bad omen. In fact, comes Reb Meir, and Reb Meir said, Tanya Reb Meir Oimer, Kol Zman Shema'oiros Loikin, Simen Ra, L'soineyem Shel Yisrael. An eclipse is only a bad sign for the Jews. The opposite of what you would have thought.
Not Jews. The enemies of Jews.
Okay. You didn't get me, though. Because when the Gemara says, L'sonayim shel Yisrael, that's a euphemism. Euphemism is a lashon sagi nahar. You say a blind person, he has a lot of light, it's a curse to the Jewish people. But because we don't want to say it, we say to the enemy of the Jewish people, but it means to the Jewish people. So Reb Meir says that when the sun eclipses, it is a bad sign for the enemy of the Jewish people, meaning for the Jewish people. Why? Because we're used to punishment. The Jewish people are more accustomed to punishment than the rest of the world. And the Gemara says, what is it analogous to? It's analogous to the Rebbe. Back in the day, nowadays, Rabbeim can't even look at the Talmidim. But back in the days, the Rabbeim not only could look at the Talmidim, they could whack the Talmidim. Okay? And the Rebbe would come in with his paddle. When the Rebbe comes in with his paddle, who gets nervous? The teacher's pet? It's the kid who gets hit every day. He's the one who starts getting nervous. So too, who is more accustomed to punishment? The Jewish people, because God loves us and He wants our perfection, so He holds us more accountable, we're the ones who have to take the omen of an eclipse. And therefore the Gemara says, according to Reb Meir, a solar eclipse is a bad sign for the Jewish people. Fine. The Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Bezman shehacham aloike, simen ra, loiv dekei chavim. When the sun eclipses, it's a bad sign for the Gentiles, because the Gentiles follow the solar calendar. Levan aloike, if the moon eclipses, Simen l'ra l'soineyem shel Yisrael. It's a bad sign for the Jews. Because the Jews go by the moon. And the Gentiles go by the sun. I would have thought, if it's a solar eclipse, it should be a bad sign for the Christians. If it's a lunar eclipse, it should be a bad sign for the Muslims. Because actually, we don't only go by the moon. It's not even... We mainly go by the moon. We just have to adjust it with the sun. But anyway, the Gemara feels that primarily the Jewish people go by the moon, and therefore a lunar eclipse is a bad sign for the Jewish people. The solar eclipse is a bad sign for the Gentiles. Then the Gemara says... Yeah.
So the Tanur Rabbanan beginning when you say
it's... Yeah, so the Gemara is making somewhat self-contradictory statements. The Gemara starts off by saying that the solar eclipse is a bad sign for the whole world. Reb Meir says it's only a bad sign for the Jewish people. Now the Gemara brings an opinion, it's only a bad sign for the Gentiles. Right? So the Gemara has made many different statements. They don't seem to be consistent with each other. Then the Gemara says, if the sun eclipses in the east, in other words, In New York, the eclipse is going to be what? Like between 2 and 4? Something like that? So if the sun eclipses in the east, Simen Rali Yoshe Mizuch, it's a bad sign for those who live in the east of the world. B'marav, if it eclipses in the west, Simen Rali Yoshe Marav. If the eclipse is when the sun is at full height, it's a bad sign for the whole world. Now, anybody know what's the sun going to look like on Monday during the eclipse? Is it going to be bloody? Is it going to be gray? So, pun of doimin ladam, if it looks bloody, Cherev ba'loilam, war will come to the world. Lasak, if it's gray, chitzei rav ba'loilam, hunger will come to the world. If it's bloody and gray, then war and famine will come to the world. The Gemara says, if it eclipses close to sunset, that means the punishment will be delayed. If it eclipses near sunrise, then the punishment will come hastily. Some say just the opposite, because if it's going to eclipse near sunset, that means the sun is about to set. If it's going to eclipse by sunrise, there's more time. Okay, says the Gemara, and whenever Hashem punishes one of the nations of the world, He punishes their Avodah Zarah along with it. But says the Gemara, uvizman sheYisrael oisin ratzono shel malkah, when the Jewish people do the will of God, then we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to be afraid of. This is only a problem. The eclipse only has an ominous meaning if we're not fulfilling Torah mitzvahs. Because the pasuk says, "Koyamar Hashem al derech hagoyim al tilmedu." Hashem says, "Don't learn the ways of the Gentiles." Umayoyseis Hashemayim al techasu. Do not be afraid of the signs of the heavens. Ki yechasu hagoyim mehema. The way the Gentiles are afraid. So the Gemara seems to say that if we're doing what we're supposed to do, we have nothing to worry about. If we're observing the Torah, we're keeping the mitzvahs, we come to davening on time, we leave our phone at home, we don't talk by davening, we make sure to learn consistently, we don't speak Lashon Hara, we guard our eyes, we do everything we need to do, Bein Adam LaMakom, Bein Adam LaChaveroi, then we could ignore any signals. Now here's the big whopper. Here's the bombshell. Tanu Rabbanan, Bishvil Arba Dvarim Chamaloike. There are four sins that cause a solar eclipse. And again, solar eclipse means bad news. Cherev, bloodshed, famine. It's a simen ra maybe to the whole world or only to the Jewish people. Here are the four sins. Alav Bezdin Shameis Feinu Nisbad Kalacha. If the head of the Jewish court passes away and he's not eulogized properly, you have a great God of Israel, he passes away, and he's not given the proper kavod achron, this is a major, major offense. This could cause a solar eclipse. Number two, v'yal nara hamurasa shetzaaka be'ir ve'in moshiela. You have a young girl, she's wed, someone abuses her, someone coerces her, she cries out, and nobody comes to her aid. Number three, v'yal mishkav zachar. And v'yal shnei achin shenishbach daman ke'achar, or two brothers who are murdered together. Very unusual set of sins that cause solar eclipse. A chief of the bezin that wasn't eulogized properly. A woman who is violated. Mishkav Zachar, and two brothers who were murdered simultaneously. Comes Rashi. Rashi, who makes tens of thousands of comments on Shas. Rashi, who always knows the answer to everything. Says Rashi, Lo shamati tam bedavar. No idea why. Beats me. No idea. Now Rashi doesn't say Lo yadat. He said, I didn't even hear anything about it. That's unusual. Rashi said, I didn't hear a reason for this.
For
any of these four things. So Rashi does not offer us any insight. Rashi could have, you know, said, well, because, you know, I was thinking all of these four things are sort of a very callous and unnatural type of sin, where here you have the leader of the generation who passes away and nobody could eulogize him properly. You know, I understand you don't like your rabbi when he's alive, but he's dead. You know? People don't like living rabbis. You know, people, but when they're dead, everybody loves the rabbi. So the rabbi died. So even now you have nothing good to say about him? It's like unnatural. You don't like him because you went for Shalom Bayis and he sided with your wife. Or you had a court case with somebody and he sided with the other guy. Or, you know, he once told you off. Okay, but he's not alive anymore. Everybody loves dead rabbis. Nah. Very unnatural. Or here you have a girl. She just got married to somebody and she's immediately abused and nobody could stand up for her. Or Mishkav Zachar. Or it's one thing murder, but for two brothers to be murdered simultaneously, that's such a callous, cruel thing. But Rashi doesn't even attempt to give any explanation. Rashi doesn't say because of these unnatural sins, an unnatural thing happened that the sun was eclipsed. Rashi says, I don't know. Comes the Marsha, and the Marsha says, well, maybe you could give a little bit of a reason. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was compared to the sun, and Yehoshua ben Nun was compared to the moon, so we see that great Chachamim are compared to the sun. So if you don't appreciate the Torah leaders who are compared to the sun, Hashem will minimize the light of the sun. Now, let's talk about what is a solar eclipse. The Rama, Rav Moshe Isserles, by the way, if you want to come visit the Rama on the Rama's yard site, which is Lag BaOmer, you could join us to Krakow coming up very soon. On the 33rd day of the Omer, we're going to be visiting Rav Moshe Isserles. The Rama, besides writing glosses on Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a sefer about science and the Beis HaMikdash. It's called Toiras HaOila. And the Rama says, you know, when we talk about a solar eclipse, we have to understand for a moment, by a solar eclipse, what the Gemara calls it loike, nothing's happening to the sun. Something's happening to the sun. Is the sun minimized? Is the sun shining less? The sun is doing what it does every single day. The problem is that the moon got in the way. So it's not like the sun was struck. You see, the Rama says, the moon, when the moon is eclipsed, something happens to the moon. The moon usually reflects the light of the sun. So if the earth gets in the way, then the moon is minimized because nothing's shining on it. Masha'in Kane, as opposed to the sun is doing what it always does. It's just that you can't see it. So when you put on blindfold, somebody turned out the lights are still on. You didn't save your electricity bill, is still going to be the same. You're still going to get ripped off hundreds of dollars a month. In the winter, you didn't turn on the air conditioner. How much, everything is LED. It's still, yeah, but you know, you're at their mercy. You have no idea why they're charging you this money. But you think the flashing clock on your microwave is $200 a month. But what are you supposed to do? You're going to take them to court? You're going to prove that the five clocks in your house don't cost $200 a month? But the electricity is still on just because you're not looking at it. So Rama points out that when you talk about the solar eclipse, it's different than a lunar eclipse. But here's the $1 million question. The $1 million question is, and this question is articulated by many Achronim, Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, Rav Yosef Tsarfasi, the Maral, Rav Yaakov Reischer. The Gemara is saying because of four sins, it causes the sun to eclipse? I don't understand. This eclipse was predicted 200 years ago. In fact, there's a chart that predicts every single eclipse that ever was from the day God created the world until the end of time. It's a natural phenomenon. Based on the movement of the sun and based on the movement of all the earth and the moon, there are eclipses every so often. In fact, you know, the story goes, I think I once told this over, that this is printed in the introduction of a sefer called Sefer HaYuchzin of Rabbi Avram Zakuta, where Christopher Columbus, when he discovered the New World, he was captured by cannibals, and they were going to eat him, and they put him in a pot, and they threw in some carrots, and some celery, and some not matzo balls, and they were going to cook him. And Christopher Columbus had with him the maritime charts of Rabbi Avram Zakuta that predicted all of the eclipses. And Christopher Columbus said, if you don't remove me, I will blot out the light of the moon. Because there was supposed to be a very lunar eclipse soon. And sure enough, you know, he went, did some hocus pocus, and the moon disappeared. And the Native American Indians, or whatever you're allowed to call them these days, they were Koireo Mishtacha Veloi, and they rescued him, and they considered him a deity, and they gave him, you know, a lot of corn. I don't know what they gave him. And this is printed in the Hakdamah of the Sefer, Sefer HaYochsen. So eclipses are predictable. You say, oh, when the sun rises, that means, what do you mean when the sun rises? It doesn't mean anything. It's programmed. God programmed the world that the sun rises and the sun sets. He programmed the world that there's solar eclipses, there are lunar eclipses. How could you say, oh, because somebody, well, wait a second, you're telling me a rabbi passed away. And if the person gives a good hesped, there won't be an eclipse. And because he didn't give a good hesped, there was an eclipse. There's going to be eclipse whether he gave a good hesped or a bad hesped. There's going to be eclipse whether somebody helped a girl, somebody didn't help a girl. Whether there is a Mishkav Zachor or there's not. How could you blame, how could you hinge, how could you say that the eclipse comes from these four sins? These are natural, predictable phenomenon that God programmed into the world, and they're like clockwork. I could tell you right now when the next eclipse is. You're telling me, I know it's going, it's going to be in Cleveland, Ohio. There's going to be totality, right? So you're saying, but if they're in Cleveland, Ohio, if they would make sure to give a good hesped, then it's going to go straight from, you know, from Mexico to Rochester, and the state of Ohio is going to miss the eclipse. Yeah, let's try that out. You could look up right now, I left it at home, the path of totality. They predict, you know, there are people, any motel in the path of totality. You could have some Fardarvina place in Kentucky, you know. They haven't, nobody has gone to that Motel 6 since they opened it up. They left the light on for the guy the first day. It's still on, that light. That light is still on. And they're, you know, they're paying $200 a month for that one light that they left on. And now, all of a sudden, it was kedai for them to build that Motel 6 50 years ago, because Hasidim from Williamsburg are going to Kentucky to see the solar eclipse. But that's only if they don't give a good hesped. If they were going to give a good hesped, then now they're going to go there and they're going to miss the whole thing. They're going to look up in the sky and they're just going to see a regular... So that's what Rabbi Yonatan Eibishtit says. He says that many people think that what we call an eclipse is what the Gemara is referring to when it says likoy hachama. And because they interpret the Gemara very literally, so the Rabbi Yonatan Eibishtit says, tzachaku tzeirim, the youth, mak the Torah. They say, how could it be? How could the Gemara say that an eclipse is dependent on sin? It's a natural, predictable phenomenon. By the way, the Aruch HaNer also says that those who are maligim al divrei chazal, those who mock the words of chazal, this is like prime real estate. For anybody who has problems with Gemara, this is where they're going. Sukkah Chavtes, you know, for all the Gemara critics out there, they've been waiting for this Gemara their whole life. Because the Gemara seems to be saying that an eclipse is some kind of supernatural phenomenon, when we know this is a physical, predictable phenomenon. This is a question that all the Achrayim ask. If you look in the, look at number 8 in the Drashas of the Maral, he says, "Ubabir hamaymer hazeh nischabtu rabim." Many, many struggle to understand the meaning of this Gemara. Also, the Ion Yaakov, he says, "Alze yitma hamatmiya hare halikuyos elu mechuyavim liyos al pi mahalach tunos hagagalim." The eclipses are perforce; they're programmed into the world. They're predictable. They're not going to change whether our behavior is good or bad. So let's begin with the first approach. Approach number one: Rabbi Yonatan Eibishtit. Rabbi Yonatan Eibishtit says, if you think when the Gemara talks about Likoy Hacham, it's talking about the solar eclipse and the path of totality, nah. The Gemara is not talking about solar eclipses. The Gemara is not talking about the path of totality. The Lashon of the Gemara is Likoy Hachama. What does Likoy Hachama mean? The sun is struck. You know what this is referring to? Says Rabbi Yonatan Eibishtit. He says, Be'emes hukach, ki lefa'amim nimtza b'chama, Kisamim gedoilim. Sunspots. You know what sunspots are? Blotches on the sun. What is it? It's a phenomenon. You could look at the sun with a telescope. You have to probably use a special lens. And every so often, the same way if you look at the sun, they're explosions. They're constant explosions. Yeah, hydrogen explosions. There are sunspots. And when there's a sunspot on that area, the light of the sun is minimized. Does it make any difference to us in this world? No. We are so... Our level of existence is so reduced that we cannot tell the difference between the minimal lessening of sunshine that is caused by a sunspot, whether there is a spot or there's not a spot. But in the ancient times, where they were very connected to all physical phenomenon, and they were very perceptive of physical phenomenon, and they're very sensitive to physical phenomenon, they could detect a difference in their life and in their quality of life when there's a sunspot or not. You know how it is? Some days you feel good, some days you don't feel great. Somebody once asked me, why do we always say in Rifa, why do we daven to Hashem, Rifa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafe, heal us, as if we're always sick. 365 days of the year, we're sick. Why don't we ask Hashem, Hashem, give us good health? Because a Jew, you know, there's a headache, a toothache, there's always something, right? You could always say Rifa'enu. We live on a reduced level of existence. Back in the day, they were more perceptive to even minimal changes in physical phenomenon. And the eclipse that the Gemara is talking about is sunspots. What is the meaning of a solar eclipse? As we understand, Abish says, absolutely not. It doesn't mean anything. It's like sunrise and sunset. It's predictable. If you could check it up, if you could Google exactly when it will be, where and how long, and we could tell when it will be on Monday, and the next time there'll be an eclipse, and the next time, then it does not have any ramification in Hashkafas HaTorah, because this is not a supernatural phenomenon, it is a physical phenomenon. When the Gemara talks about Likoy Hachama, it's talking about sunspots. By the way, in a rare occasion, Rabbi Yaakov Emden also says that the Gemara cannot be taken literally. It's not referring to what we know as an eclipse, but rather it would seem that the Gemara is talking about some other kind of phenomenon where the sun itself is minimized by some kind of occurrence. So this is the first opinion, that what's happening on Monday has no bearing on our lives. What is its meaning? Absolutely nothing. It's a gimmick to get people to go to a Motel 6 in Pawtucket, Kentucky, and to pay what's normally $43 a night, $430 a night for a room that its light has been on since it was built. Okay? So it means nothing according to Rabbi Anderson Iverson's. Comes the Shla HaKadosh, and the Shla HaKadosh says, you know, this is not the first time we had such a question. This is a question in Parshas Noach. God said, I'm never going to bring a mabel. What's the sign I'm never going to bring a mabel? Es kashdi nasati bena, a rainbow. A rainbow is a sign that God is angry at the world, and really he was going to destroy the world, and he's not because of the rainbow. So ask the Shla HaKadosh, all the Achronim ask, come on, a rainbow is a sign that God really wants to destroy the world? Scientists could predict that if you have enough precipitation in the air, and the sun shines, and there's a certain cloud, you're going to see a rainbow. It's a physical phenomenon. It's predictable. I could also make a rainbow. You know, when I was a kid, you take a hose, you squirt it up in the air, like in the angle of the sun, and you see a rainbow. You make a bracha on that? Yeah, come everyone. Come to my backyard as soon as May comes. I'm going to show everyone there's rainbows in my backyard every single day. So you're saying that a rainbow is a sign that Hashem really wanted to destroy the world? The rainbow is not a sign Hashem wanted to destroy the world. A rainbow is a physical phenomenon. Comes the Shla HaKadosh and he says, no, you're making a big mistake. The question is an erroneous question. You ready for this? The Gemara tells us about a guy who was on your roof and you forgot to make, it depends where you come from. If you, you know, it depends where you learn. You forgot to make a ma'ake or a mica, whatever you want. You forgot to make a fence. So if you forget to make a fence, so Gemara says, ki yipol hanoifel mimenu, the fallen one will fall off. So Gemara asks, why are we calling him a fallen one? Should say, somebody might fall off. So Gemara says, no. He was supposed to fall off when God created the world. He ordained, Pliny's going to fall off the roof. So then why am I responsible for not making a fence? This guy was going to fall off anyway. So why am I responsible? What is it? Megalgalin chayiv al yidei chayiv. He was supposed to fall off. But God was looking for a good agent to bring about his will. You, pal, are a good negligent agent. You're a guilty person. Why am I a guilty person? Why is he a guilty person? Because he was irresponsible by not making a fence. So God was a good shadchan. He shadchaned the guy who was supposed to fall with a guy who is an eligible candidate to be a murderer. So even though, in other words, any murderer, someone who's a murderer, why can't he say, this is what the Germans said. The Nazis claimed this in the Eichmann trial. That why are they responsible, but God decreed that the Jews should suffer. They're lamdanim. Right? It's similar to the Ravid. The Ravid says, you know, why were the Mitzrayim punished, but Hashem decreed that v'inu oisam arba me'a shana, that they're going to afflict us for 400 years. The answer is, says the Shlach HaKadosh, God knew this person would fall. But he knew this from the beginning of time. But he arranged that Pliny, who's guilty for not making a roof, he should be the instrument to bring about the demise of this guy who fell off the roof. It's the same thing with solar eclipse. You know why there's a solar eclipse? Because we don't respect Gedolei Yisrael. Because our society, not the Gentile society, the Jewish society is immoral. Because of Mishkav Zachar. So what do you mean? But it was predicted. We knew there was going to be an eclipse. That's right. God, who created the world, He knew there was going to be an eclipse at these times because He knew these times are times where the Jewish people are sinful. Yeah, but we could predict. That's great. You know why you could predict? Because God could predict. And He's the one who created the world. And He set up these phenomenon that they occur like clockwork. You know why He set it up for these times? Because He knew that these times there would be terrible, sinful behavior of the Jewish people. Saying, wait a second. That means God knew we would sin at these times. So doesn't it mean that we don't have a choice? We have to be sinful? Says the Shlach, that's the question is as old as the hills. That's the question of how do we have free choice if God has foreknowledge? So we human being doesn't have the capacity to understand how is it that God knows what we're going to do despite the fact that we have free choice whether to do it or not. But once you could get around understanding that we're not able to understand how it's possible that God knows what we're going to do even though we have the choice whether to do it or not, we can understand that yes, a rainbow means God's angry with the world. But what do you mean it's a physical phenomenon? Yeah, God created the physical phenomenon that it should be just at the times that we're sinful and He would have destroyed the world. That's the answer of the Shlach. In that case, Monday's a frightening day. It's a scary day. The Gemara says that a solar eclipse is a criticism of the Jewish people. Could be of the whole world, and it could be just us. But what do you mean? We predicted it. We knew this was happening for 200 years. Yeah, that's because God who created the world foresaw that there are going to be times in history when we're not doing what we need to do. We don't treat our leaders properly. It's an immoral climate. And it's a murderous climate. That's how the Shlach understands. Then the Shlach says something. Let's see if I could say the words. You'll think about it tonight. By the way, if you ever have a hard time falling asleep, a proven technique is you think about the shir. And many people have told me that, somebody just said, Rabbi Glatzin, I know a very old lady. She's in her 90s and she listens to your shirim. So probably she has a hard time falling asleep at night. And this really is a very effective way. But you'll think about this. You'll tell me if you understand it. The Shlach HaKadosh says that these physical phenomenon, they impact the everyday, ordinary running of the physical world. They make an imprint, they have an impact, they make a roishem in our finances, in our health, in our well-being, but that's only because we live in a world of sin. But if we would be acting the way we should act, then these phenomena would have no impact on us at all. Now, does that answer why they have an impact on us if it's predictable beforehand and it's a physical phenomenon? Let me share with you one more approach, and then I'm going to share with you the amazing approach of the Maharal of Prague. And maybe on Shabbos, you could come to Shalosh Shudas at 5:30 Peninsula, and we're going to learn the amazing approach of the Chasam Sofer. The Ion Yaakov and the Rabbi Yosef Shah HaLevi Natanzan say as follows. They say, of course, an eclipse is a physical phenomenon. It's predictable. It's scientifically able to be determined from beforehand when the eclipse will occur. However, when it occurs, it's a bad sign. It's a bad mazel. Just like, you know, there's an idea if somebody's born under mazel madim. So the Gemara says either he'll be a murderer, so he better either become a shaychet or a mayel, because you're going to be influenced by the mazel that you're born under. So the Ion Yaakov says that even though it's predictable when the eclipse will be, at the time of the eclipse, it portends and reflects upon the sins of the Jewish people. You're right, it's predictable, but at that time, it's a zman of din. Okay, you ready for this? Fasten your seatbelts. You ready, Rafi? You sure? Maybe you'll say this over one day at a Sheva Brachas. It would be very good. About all these sins could be, you know, people need to hear about, especially at the Sheva Brachas. The Gemara says there are four sins that bring about a solar eclipse. If a gadol b'Yisrael dies and he's not eulogized properly. If a woman gets married and she's violated and nobody saves her. Mishkav zachar. Or if two brothers are murdered. Like the most random four sins you could come up with. If I asked you, come up with the four most unconnected random averois and put them together in one pot, this would be a good job. Says the Maharal of Prague, there is no question that the Gemara is not taken literally. And when the Gemara talks about the eclipse of the sun represents those who give off light to this world. Who gives off light to this world? Talmidei Chachamim. Why would Talmidei Chachamim be eclipsed that their light is no longer shining, that people don't learn Torah? Why is there a diminution of Torah in the world? Why are people not attached to the Torah the way they should be? Now, here's a very important idea. Says Maharal of Prague, in order for Torah to be learned, it's not okay, it's not going to be enough if you're interested in learning. Interest is not going to cause an expansion of Torah. Yeah, I like learning. It's very interesting. Interesting. A lot of things are interesting. There are many industries that their goal is to surpass whatever your minor interests are so that you could be hooked on more interesting things instead of the things that you claim are interesting to you. It's not enough to be interested in Torah. You need to love the Torah. If you don't love Torah, the Torah will not be absorbed and be disseminated and be present in our life, in the life of our community. In order to learn Torah, You need ahava for the Torah. If you don't love the Torah, then you don't even get to first base. Raise your hand if you love the Torah. It's unanimous. It's unanimous. Otherwise, you wouldn't come here. You need to love the Torah. How do you have to love the Torah? You have to love the Torah in three ways. B'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'oidecha. With all your heart. What's your heart? Remember we said, heart is not your heart. How are you supposed to love Hashem with your heart? Your heart is your mind. Your heart, whenever the Torah says lev, it's your mind. It means you have to love Torah with your intelligence. U'b'chol nafshecha, your soul, is your actions. U'b'chol me'oidecha, your cash. Nothing shows appreciation like cash. If you want to be connected to Torah, yeah, I do the daf. You do the daf. Okay, that's great. You do it. You have to love the daf. Otherwise, you didn't start. You have to love the Torah. You have to love it with all your soul. I'm sorry, with all your heart. That's your mind, with your body and your money. The Gemara says, it says you should love Hashem. How could a person love the Shekhinah? The Shekhinah is fire. If you marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, you do business for a Talmud Chacham, you give the Talmud Chacham from your assets, it's like you're connected to Hashem. Says the Maharal of Prague, if you marry your daughter to the Talmud Chacham, we know a person's heart, his mind, is connected to his children. Person's thoughts are always about their children. So if you give your child over to a Talmud Chacham, so you're giving over your mind to the Torah. If you help a Talmud Chacham do business, so you're working for him, you're working to support, then your actions are given over to the Torah. When you support with your money is giving over to the Torah. You have to love the Torah in these three ways. You ready for this? Talmud Chacham passed away. Look, we understand why you didn't like the rabbi when he was alive. We already went through this. You didn't like him when he was alive because he told you what to do. He once said, he once gave you a look and you didn't like it. He once did not, Rav Miller would say, that somebody once accused him of not sufficiently widening his smile to a congregant. I understand, when the rabbi's alive, you don't like, but he's dead! The poor guy's dead already. So give him a eulogy. Give him a hesped. Don't you see the Torah is lessened in the world because of his loss? Why aren't you eulogizing the Talmud Chacham properly? It's because you don't appreciate the intellectual value of the Torah. It doesn't hurt you that there's a diminution of Torah in the world. If you don't eulogize the Talmud Chacham properly, it means that you don't love the Torah with your mind. You know why there's a lack of Torah in this world? Because we don't love the Torah with our mind, evident from the fact that a great rabbi could die and we don't eulogize him properly. Next. A young girl got married and she was violated and she screamed out and nobody came to her aid. Says the Maharal, you know who that young girl is? The Jewish people. Every Jew is wed to someone. Who's that? The Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe Moirasha al tikri Moirasha ela Moirasa. Every Jew is engaged to the Torah. But some Jews, they can't consummate the deal because they can't afford it. Some people could afford it. Some people could afford to learn. And some people can't afford it. They should get a job. They should be gainfully employed. You know, why are they warming the bench? Well, I should go to where I should support them? They should support themselves. It's a capitalist country. Al devar nara hamurasa shetsaaka be'ir ve'ein moshiela. If there are Jews who can't afford to dedicate themselves to learning the way they would like, they were married to the Torah, but they can't consummate the deal because people are saying, you know, why should the state support them? Maybe they should also defend. And I'm not getting into that right now. But if a Jew would like to learn Torah, who's responsible to support them? If you have money in your wallet, you are. You are. If you could afford it, no, I only give tzedakah to poor, to social causes. I only give tzedakah to Hatzalah, United Hatzalah, Hatzalah, Taim Chai Shabbos, Chai Lifeline. I only give tzedakah to social causes. But you want to learn Torah? No problem. Get a job, and then when you get home from work, you could learn in your free time. What do you want from my life? I went to school, and I have a job, and I worked for it. So why do I have to give you money? Nara hamurasa hatsoyaka ba'ir ve'ein moshiela. The Torah does not only belong to those who could afford it. It belongs to every Jew. And if Jews are not able to learn the way they would like to, that means we don't love Torah. In what way? With our money. We don't learn Torah. We don't love Torah with our money. Why aren't we supporting them? Because it's my money. And if they want to learn, let them figure out how to be gainfully employed. Says Maral, that's what the Gemara means. You know why there's a solar eclipse? You know why there's a lack of Torah in this world? Because we don't love the... In order for there to be Torah, you need to love the Torah. You have to love it with your mind. And if we don't eulogize properly, that means we don't have the proper value for Talmid Chachamim. And if we don't support Aniyim, we don't have the proper value of what money could do in terms of supporting Torah. You ready for this? You know why else there's a lack of Torah in the world? Because of Mishkav Zachar. So, how are we going to figure this one out? The pasuk says in Koheles, Re'e chayim imisha asher ahavta. See life with the woman that you love. Who's the woman that you love? Gemara says, the Torah. The Torah is the woman. So who's the man? The man is your job. So, the Maral says, a healthy, balanced relationship is to balance your livelihood and the time you dedicate to Limud HaTorah. Your livelihood is your man, and your relationship with the Torah is your woman. But what if a guy says, you know, look, I work 9 to 5, but, you know, I need to work more. I have a nice house, but I want to have a nicer car and another car, and I want to have an apartment in Florida and one in Yerushalayim and a bungalow, and I want to go on fancy vacations, so I need to work from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. every night, and I don't have time to learn. Pal, so your life is about you and your man, about you and your job. Your woman, you threw out of the picture. You have a very unhealthy relationship over here. You know what we call this? If you're too involved in your career and your livelihood, that's Mishkav Zachar. I'm just a reporter, by the way. If I came to you and I came up with this pshat, I don't know if you're going to... This is Maral of Prague. Mishkav Zachar. You got to give equal time to the man and the woman. I know, by the way, Friday night you come home and you sing this ode to your wife, Eishes Chayel Miyimtza, this beautiful song. It has nothing to do with her. It's not a song to your wife. I mean, you could think it is and she could think it is. Eishes Chayel is about the Torah. It's about your relationship with the Torah. Why am I singing it Friday night? Because 6 days a week you're working and Shabbos is time for Limud HaTorah. Okay, Not everything that we say here needs to be repeated as a Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table. But the truth is the truth. There are many nice things we say you'll be able to say over at the table. Says Maral of Prague, the Zachar is your livelihood, the Nekeva is the Torah. Make sure they're wed and they're both given proper attention. Otherwise, Mishkav Zachar. Then you don't honor the Torah, says the Maral, with your nefesh, with your body. You're too physically immersed in your livelihood. You're too physically immersed in your career. We need to love. The reason why the light of Torah shines in this world and in your life is if you have to love her. You have to love her. In that sense, she's like a wife. Marriage works. You have to love your wife. The Torah is meaningful if you love her. You have to love her with your mind. You have to love her with your actions. You have to love her with your money. If you don't, there will be less Torah in the world. How do we know how much you love the Torah? Listen carefully how you talk about Rabbanim. You want to know how much you love Torah? Do you praise them or do you criticize them? That's one way to know if you love them with your mind. Do you love them? Do you love Torah with your body? What's the ikkar? Your work, your livelihood, or limud haTorah? Do you love the Torah with your money? Do you support people to be able to learn? And then finally, we have one more thing. Because the Gemara says, what's the fourth sin that causes a solar eclipse? If two brothers are murdered in one day, what are we going to do with that? Says the Maral of Prague, if two brothers are murdered in one day, the two brothers are the Luchais. When God gave us the Luchais, it was His handiwork and His writing. If we were able to receive His writing on His handiwork, then the Torah He gave us will be inscribed on our heart. But because the two Luchais were broken, so now God had to supplant it with Moshe's handiwork. So now it's not God's writing on God's handiwork, it's God's writing on Moshe's handiwork. So now we no longer have this gift from above of the writing of God on God's tablets, it's the writing of God on Moshe's tablets. So the two brothers were broken. Says the Maral, in order for Torah to be meaningful in this world, you need to have people who are makabel the Torah. And when those two luchos were broken, that was symbolic of a lack of acceptance of the Torah. And therefore in our times as well, in order for the Torah to be meaningful in our lives, we have to be willing and loving recipients of it. Says the Maral, the first three sins are specific to a determination of our love for the three various levels of loving the Torah with our mind, with our nefesh, and with our money. The fourth sin that the Gemara mentions is a reference to the general attitude of our willingness to accept the Torah. According to the Maral, does Monday's solar eclipse mean anything? Simply, he's saying that it's just a remez, that a solar eclipse refers to if you notice that there's a diminution of Torah in the world. Do you know why? It's a lack of love for the Torah. But you can't help but think that the solar eclipse is a mashal. That if you see that the light of the sun is blotted out, that reflects that the light of the great sun, the light of the Torah, has been minimized in our lives. And we have to search, what is it? Why is it minimized? Why why is my connection to Torah not as deep as it could be? And the answer the Gemara tells us is we have to examine, do we love the Torah with all of our mind? Do we love Talmidei Chachamim? Do we support Limud HaTorah? Are we too immersed in our jobs? And are we really willing to accept it? So according to the Maral, Monday afternoon. According to Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, relax. You know, you could take it easy. Monday afternoon doesn't have too much meaning. According to the Shlah, you have to take it very seriously. God knew 57, 84 years ago that Monday afternoon would be a time when we've sunk to a really low level. And according to the Maral, specifically, it seems to be indicating that we have to examine why there has been a minimization of Torah in our lives. And the answer is, we need to love Talmidei Chachamim more. We need to love Torah more and our jobs less. And we need to go out of our way and strain ourselves and exhibit some sacrifice when it comes to supporting Torah. And overall, we have to be willing recipients of that. And in that merit, we'll be zoicha that the great light of the sun, the Torah, will shine brighter and brighter, and we should all be zoicha. Ar chadash, al tzion toyer, v'nizka kulanu, v'mheira l'oirai. Thank you very much, and bracha v'atzlacha. Thank you. Kol tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.